Men John, de här fakturorna, har du koll på dem eller?
Att ha alla fakturor i en enda röra, det är inte Telia.
Oj, vad många.
Att göra det lätt att driva företag, det är Telia. Läs mer om fördelar med att samla IT, bredband och mobilt hos en leverantör på telia.se/företag.
På Sveriges största jackpot-casino går Hypermiljonen på högvarv. Från Malmö i söder till Kiruna i norr har Hypermiljonen genererat över 130 miljoner exklusivt till våra spelare. Välkommen in till Sveriges största jackpot-casino, hyper.com.
18 plus, regler och villkor gäller.
Hej, Synoptik här. Hos oss får du hjälp med att ta hand om din ögonhälsa. Med vår synundersökning kan vi upptäcka både synförändringar och tecken på vanliga ögonsjukdomar. Boka tid på synoptik.se.
Bitcoin dansar runt 20 000 dollar. Babbel är det nya Celsius och dessutom live-rapport från den stora NFT-konferensen i New York City. Ja, men glad sommar får man väl säga, och varmt välkomna ska ni vara till De kallar oss krypto. Det här är det sista avsnittet innan vi går på sommarledighet och lägger oss i varsin hängmatta, jag och Gunnar. Som vanligt är det då jag, Mårten Andersson, komiker, entreprenör och allt jämt även i bistra tider, kryptoentusiast som pratar. Och vid min sida, ni har hört mig nämna honom inledningsvis, Gunnar, han har ett efternamn, Harrius.
Ja.
Var kommer Harrius ifrån?
Min farfars far, Harry Johansson, tröttnade på resten av sin familj och tog sig det inte helt omegalomana namnet Harry Harrius.
Okay.
Han var hovmästare på Gyllene Uttern, du vet, den klassiska vägkrogen vid Vättern.
Har de hovmästare där? Det kanske hade de förr i tiden.
Jag tror det var lite bättre, var bättre stil på Gyllene Uttern när Harry Harrius höll i tyglarna.
Än nu. Alltså, ja. Jag var på Rasta och åt, apropå vägkrogar. Ja. Herre min skapare.
Ja, det är sjukt.
En blind apa hade gjort en mer aptitlig måltid.
Ja, men det är sjukt att ingen har liksom claimat vägkrogs liksom domänen, eller vad man ska säga. Alltså, det känns som att det borde gå.
Jo, men alltså, jag tänker att Max har väl gjort det lite grann.
Ja, men det är
och nu
sant.
Kommer då Djureskog har ju öppnat upp någon storsatsning med massa, så att jag tror att det är kanske, men det är fortfarande snabbmat, men ja. Man skulle vilja se någon så här husmanskosts bra lagad, ja, kedja
där det liksom inte är stora mjölklumpar i brunsåsen.
Ja, där det inte ligger en dreadlocks i potatismosen till den mosade fisken. Kanske lite höga krav, Rasta, men i alla fall, jag tycker, ja. Därför de heter Rasta.
Snyggt.
Ja, hörrni, det här är då som sagt det sista avsnittet innan sommaren, för det är fortfarande inte hugget i sten när vi kommer tillbaka.
Ja, nej, vi får se. Det blir väl någon gång efter sommaren. Sådär. Men vi har också en annan grej som är desto tråkigare som vi skulle vilja prata om också.
Ska vi ta det på en gång?
I guess.
Ja, och så här då. Vi har ju verkligen lagt väldigt mycket tid på att försöka skapa ett grymt krypto-event, alltså då Nordic Crypto Summit. Vi har jobbat med riktigt duktiga unga killar som har gjort hela liksom känslan i varumärket och hemsida och liksom allt sånt, och framförallt bokat gäster. De skulle komma och prata om institutionella investeringar, digitala centralbankspengar, regleringar om att skapa världens första kryptobank och mycket annat. Tanken har varit att skapa ett forum då där folk kan få en känsla för vad inom den här världen som är värt att ta på allvar och vad som kanske mest är brus.
Vi har ju sålt en del biljetter, men vi har faktiskt, om vi ska vara helt ärliga, sålt långt ifrån så många som vi behöver för att täcka våra kostnader, och det är ju sjukt bistra tider vad gäller krypto generellt, och vi tänker att det rimligaste att göra just nu är helt enkelt att skjuta upp det här eventet.
Ja, tajmingen blev ju, alltså det man inte vet med event, så man, det tar lång tid att planera dem, och när vi planerade det här så såg ju det mesta ljust ut, sen har det bara liksom stått som spön i backen med negativa nyheter och krascher och allt annat, plus att inflationen bara sticker, så att nej, det känns inte helt lustfyllt och smart att göra det den 22 september, så vi skjuter på Nordic Crypto Summit, troligtvis våren 2023. Men oavsett det och datum som vi återkommer om naturligtvis, så kommer alla ni som har köpt biljetter att få tillbaka era pengar.
Så är det. All right, ska vi ta något lite roligare då? Hur mår du?
Ja, det mår bra. Det är en strålande sommardag i Stockholm och jag ska gå faktiskt bada med mina barn efter de har varit på förskolan.
Ja, men fan, det är det.
Så att jag mår väldigt bra. Spelar till och med bra golf, bara en sån sak. Mm. Och sen ska jag vara helt ärlig och säga att jag har älskat att sitta här med dig i den här studion. Men det har varit lite deppigt på slutet när man får liksom sitta med periskop och monokel och kikare och försöka hitta en positiv nyhet, men det liksom inte går.
Då är
det
mikroskop också.
Mikroskop, ja, men allt, ja. Allt möjligt. Ja. Så, vad sa jag? Stetoskop?
Jag tror du sa periskop. Det är ju liksom att man ser över grejer. Det kanske vi också behöver i och för sig, att se över häckar och sånt där.
Jag tänkte med en sån här som, du vet, en kikare, stjärnkikare.
Ah, ja, okej. Okay. Ah, jag fattar. Mm.
Ni förstår metaforen. Det har inte varit helt enkelt att hitta glada nyheter. Och vi försöker peppa upp varandra sådär, men det ska bli rätt skönt med lite break.
Mm. Ja, men exakt. Jag har också blivit...
Hur känner du?
Ja, men det är lite samma, antar jag. Jag har också blivit någon slags handelsresande i att prata om kryptokrascher också. Alltså, så här,
ja, du var med i morse i SVT.
Ja, morgonstudion. Ja. Om det. Och då liksom, det är kul. Alltså, det är då de börjar ringa. Liksom, när det brinner som mest, liksom, då börjar folk ringa.
Då ringer man Harry just barnbarn.
Schbarn.
Barnbarn.
Ja.
Okay. Jag fattar. Jaha, men det såg bra ut. Intervjun ligger på SVT Play, misstänker jag.
Ja.
Om man vill förkovra sig i Gunnars tankar kring den stundande kryptokraschen.
Den pågående, va?
Ja, den pågående. Men jag säger stundande, det känns bättre.
Stundande, det kommer ännu mer alltså.
Ja, men för mig känns stundande som att det är just nu, men att det kommer ta slut.
Aha, shit, jag kanske inte vet vad det betyder. Jag tänkte att stundande betyder... Ja,
om det är någon som är litterär av oss två, så är det du. Så det kanske jag som har missuppfattat vad stundande betyder.
Du, på tal om olika krascher, nyheter, frågetecken?
Ja, men innan det vill jag bara säga att det här ska inte bli något domedagsavsnitt
nej.
Tvärtom, vi sa förra veckan att vi vill avsluta på en positive note, och det kommer vi också göra, därför att det är ju så då att just nu pågår en av de fetaste NFT-eventsen som är i världen, och det är då i New York, 4 eller om det är 5 dagar till och med utav liksom ett gigantisk mässa.
Just det.
Där vi har en representant på plats som vi ska prata med idag, och jag såg henne, jag vill bara säga det här för jag kommer inte vara med under intervjun för att på grund av tidsskillnader och hämtning på förskola och sånt där, men att hon verkligen stod och predikade, hon bara, just like when in doubt, zoom out, och att liksom man pratar om att så här, det här kommer bara vara en small dip on the chart eller något sånt liknande, sa hon. Det man vill veta är ju såklart, förutom att få en grym rapport om förhoppningsvis hur häftigt det är i New York på den här NFT-mässan, så vill man ju kanske också få lite så här, hur kan hon vara så säker?
Mm-hmm.
För det jag som kände när jag lyssnade på det, jag känner henne, hon är då
hon heter Megan Nilsson kanske vi ska säga.
Ja, just det. Och hon förvaltar ju pengar åt ett antal väldigt rika människor, åker runt på olika mässor över hela världen och pratar och talar. Hon är riktigt duktig. Men det slog mig ändå att så här, det känns som att det bara upprepades så pass många klischéer som man har hört så många krypto-influencers då säga, som man säger, man nästan blir provocerad.
Mm.
Hur kan man vara så övertygad? Det är väl egentligen det jag skulle vilja att hon pratade om.
Mm.
Lite grann bland annat.
Just det. Hon är någon slags kryptokonsult. Hon, precis som du säger, förvaltar människors pengar. Hon är ofta med och pratar på den typen av konferenser som pågår nu just nu i New York. Jag tänker också att det är kul att bara få lite så vibe-check liksom, från det där. Så här, är folk helt förkrossade eller?
Ja. Nej, men nyheter. Ännu en riktigt stökig vecka för kryptokurserna. Natten mot lördag så var Bitcoin nere på under $18,000 och Ethereum långt under $1,000. Samtidigt finns det stor oro att vi inte har sett botten än. Tech-aktier ligger också på rekordlåga nivåer, inflationen stiger och rädsla för att vi går in i en mer omfattande lågkonjunktur finns. Det återstår att se huruvida krypto kan stå emot resten av marknaden på lång sikt eller om de senaste årens utveckling har gjort att kryptovalutor faller när resten av ekonomin faller. Kryptolånaren Celsius väg tillbaka har börjat. Efter förra veckans krasch där bolaget ställde in alla uttag från kunder säger representanter för Celsius nu att dialoger med myndigheter fortsätter och att målet är att få likviditet i bolaget. Det bolag som har finansierat Celsius, Bank to the Future, säger att det krävs kreativa finansiella lösningar för att Celsius ska kunna resa sig igen. Den asiatiska låneplattformen Babel går i Celsius fotspår och stoppar uttag för sina kunder. Händelseförloppet är nästan skrämmande likt det som Celsius upplevde förra veckan. Bolaget hade lånat in pengar av sina kunder, lovat avkastning och i sin tur investerat det här i riskfyllda kryptoprodukter. Babel hade 3 miljarder dollar i utestående lån från 500 kunder. Circle, bolaget bakom stablecoinen USDC, släpper nu en coin som ska motsvara en euro. Eurocoin ska enligt bolaget bli en coin som man kan använda för kryptotjänster, fast med tryggheten i en traditionell valuta. Idag finns det stablecoins kopplade till euron till ett värde av 130 miljoner dollar. Att jämföra med dollar stablecoins som har ett värde på ungefär 150 miljarder dollar. Eurocoin är en centraliserad stablecoin som kommer att vara backad 1-1 av euro och europeiska statspapper. Ja, Gunnar, alltså vad är det som händer?
Alltså, pratar vi kurser nu?
Det någonstans är ju så här, men det är vad det är, och det är mycket möjligt att vi ska ännu lägre, jag vet inte. Men det här med att nu då Celsius brakar åt helsike, innan det var det Luna, och nu är det nästa då, den här asiatiska låneplattformen Babel, där vi pratar om 3 miljarder dollar. Alltså, jag berättade för det här med, för min fästmö, och hon nämnde att de hade en liknande grej. För många, många år sedan i Serbien så fanns det något så här, just man kunde stoppa in sina pengar och få helt otroliga räntor tillbaka då. Och det här var något som väldigt, väldigt många människor gjorde, och sen så bara försvann pengarna. Och det är ju det man ser här igen. Och ibland känner jag, liksom, man sitter här och bara drar nyheter, och det är bara ettor och nollor i siffror. Men vi pratar ju om alltså folks, i vissa fall, livsbesparingar som bara är... Man undrar vad det finns för garanti. Finns det liksom, går det in statliga? Finns det någon statlig garanti i det här, eller är bara pengarna bara borta?
Alltså, det som det är väl...
Jag tänker om i Celsius.
Och svaret är väl att nej, det finns väl troligtvis inte någon statlig garanti, för att det är inte en bank. Och liksom bankerna, det är ju det som är tryggheten, eller om man ska säga, med de traditionella bankerna, att de har liksom så här insättningsgaranti och sånt där. Och att troligtvis går staten in ifall liksom allt går omkull. Men jag tänker typ att lite det som Daniel Roberts sa i förra veckans avsnitt, att liksom så här, om någon säger avkastning på 8%, 12%, 20%, nej. Det går inte att ha det långsiktigt. Liksom. I alla fall inte nu. Det är ju extremt mycket som tyder på, tycker jag.
Ja, det är liksom en ganska intressant snack med några vänner också om så här, vad man gör med sina pengar. För under inflation vill man inte ha dem på sparkonto, men det går knappt att investera med någonting.
Ja, då
kanske man skulle göra typ som Anna Svan, att gå in i guld till exempel. Jag bara, men det har inte gått upp någonting. Fast det är inte det det handlar om. Det handlar om att dina pengar förlorar inte i värde. Men som det känns just nu, så jag vet inte. Jag vill göra någon slags målbild av att jag ser mig själv som en struts som bara stoppar in huvudet i sanden och bara så här, la 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 la.
Innan vi tar vår gäst, Morten, en liten midsommarpresent från mig till dig.
Ja.
Vad vill du att kryptoskolan ska handla om? Fritt val. Jag har tre alternativ ifall du inte kommer på något.
Ja, men skjut alternativ då.
Alternativ 1, vad är burning? Vad är halving? Eller ordlista del 2?
Ja, men kör burning då.
Kör burning, okej. Det var min minst generösa midsommarpresent jag någonsin har gett.
Ja, men det var ändå mer midsommarpresent än vad jag givit dig, måste jag ändå. Så att jag tycker det var fint av dig.
Ja.
Så härligt. Burning i då helt enkelt kryptoskolan, vad det är. Och då tänker du på liksom till exempel när man, som de alla olika coins som bränner. Vad är det för fenomen? Varför gör man det ens? Ja. Varför gör man inte bara mindre från början?
Ja, och hur fan sätter man eld på kod, undrar jag också.
Just det. Det får jag reda på nu.
Kryptoskolan, lektion 46. Vad är burning? Ett problem med kryptovalutor är att det inte finns något sätt att radera coins. Hela poängen med blockkedjor är ju att de är permanenta och inte går att ändra på. Burning är en lösning på det här. Rent praktiskt går det till så att man skickar coinsen till en plånbok, en burn wallet, som ingen har nycklarna till. Coinsen blir då inlåsta där för alltid, och rent praktiskt är de då tagna ur cirkulation. Vem som helst kan bränna sina coins genom att skicka dem till den här adressen. Men eftersom det är ganska bokstavligt att sätta eld på sina pengar är det ingenting vi rekommenderar. Så varför skulle någon vilja göra det här? Det vanligaste är att det är utvecklarna eller företaget bakom en specifik coin som bestämmer sig för att bränna coins. Tanken är oftast att man vill höja värdet på coinen. Man kan likna det vid att börsnoterade bolag köper tillbaka aktier. Med mindre coins i omlopp är tanken att värdet på varje coin ska stiga. Även om det är långt ifrån en garanti. I vissa kryptovalutor finns ett slags inbyggd burning i penningpolitiken. Smarta kontrakt som ser till att coins bränns upp när något specifikt händer för att reglera mängden valuta i omlopp. Med mindre valutor har det förekommit scams där utvecklare har hävdat att de skickat coins till en burn wallet för att driva upp priset när de egentligen skickat det till en plånbok de själva kontrollerar.
Ja, men då är det dags att ta in dagens gäst. Och Gunnar, du gör den här nu igen då själv.
Ja, det känns lite deppigt att gå in i sommaren helt ensam på det här sättet, Mårten. Men det är vad det är också.
Det är vad det är. Men som sagt, jag tror att även om vi är färgade som så många andra utav tidens tand, och liksom att det ska kosta 50 spänn att ta en dusch på 3 minuter numera och så vidare, för att elpriserna rusar också, så kanske vi inte ska lägga orden i Megans mun, utan att har hon en framtidstro och bara tänker att det här är en minidipp, ja, let the woman talk. Hon är i alla fall extremt erfaren och som sagt har hållit på med krypto ett bra tag. Hon förvaltar pengar åt i summor som inte ens vi kan
wrap our heads around.
Tack så väldigt mycket. Vad heter det på svenska?
Förstå.
Ja, så med det sagt, Gunnar, varsågod. Här kommer intervjun direkt från New York och NFT-mässan där med Megan Nilsson.
Well, I'll just get into it. Thank you so much for doing this, Megan, and for those of our listeners who don't know who you are, could you sort of introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me. It's really great to be here. I'm really excited to talk to you here from New York at NFT NYC. So my name is Crypto Megan. I am a high-end crypto and NFT portfolio consultant for investors, large companies, and celebrities. And recently, I decided to take that knowledge and bring that to everybody who wants to learn more about crypto, because my mission is to teach people with quality information they can trust. People getting involved now, newcomers, advocating for women in Web3 is so important to me. And I'm kind of working on that now. So I'm on a world speaking tour, going around doing panels and keynote speeches and just doing my best to spread the narrative in a positive, meaningful way.
Is your name actually Crypto Megan, or do you have like a more formal name as well?
It's Megan Nilsson. It's funny though, I kind of go by Crypto Megan now, and as people see me, they say Crypto Megan, and so it's kind of been like adopted as my second name almost.
Right, but for our Swedish listeners, like Nilsson is a Swedish name. Do you have a Swedish connection?
That is true. I am married to a Swedish man. So Nilsson is my married name, and everybody thinks I'm Swedish because of that name. So they get pretty surprised when I don't speak Swedish. I'm working on it, though.
Yeah. All right. So NFT NYC, for those who don't know what it is, what is it?
So it's the world's largest NFT gathering, NFT event, and it's where all the founders of all the major NFT projects, the shakers, the movers, the people who are shaping this narrative come here, and they gather here from all over the world to look at trends in the NFT market and how this technology is going to revolutionize our world.
Right. So if I was to show up there tomorrow, what would I see? Are there like panels and talks, and what's going on?
It's a really incredible setting. I mean, it's 5 floors inside a hotel and various venues. It's massive. So it's anything and everything you could imagine, from gaming to collectibles to music to art. I mean, they're going over all the different industries and how NFTs are going to be utilized and actually help those industries evolve. But it's not only the actual event in itself. What the real excitement is are the meetups around the event. And I have to tell you, I'm seeing a lot of fellow apes here on the Bored Ape Yacht Club, and there's a massive monkey on the pier, and people are just excited. I mean, they're here hanging out with their crews, their communities. The meetups around the events are actually sometimes even more spectacular than the event itself.
So just to be super clear here, you're sort of an NFT enthusiast, and you own, is it an ape or is it several apes?
Yeah, so I did own two mutant apes. I own one now. I'm looking to pick up another one because they're fire sales at the moment. And that's something that I've been guiding my clients through, is now is an excellent time to just bunker down, accumulate, look at the NFT blue chips that you've been looking at for a while and just get involved. I have to say, the Bored Ape Yacht Club community is so, so powerful. It's so strong. I met so many people from there, and the value that's building around this community, it's really incredible to see the businesses people have started around that brand since we have IP rights to the images.
Right. Because, I mean, a lot of people, and I must admit, sometimes even myself, sometimes like look at the entire NFT space and the... because NFTs have sort of crashed together with crypto right now, and you look at NFT space and you think, oh well, maybe we shouldn't pay like thousands and thousands of dollars for a digital art, or like from an unknown artist, or to be sort of use the crypto skeptics language, a JPEG. If something is to survive from the NFT space, it's more sort of utility NFTs and stuff like that. What is your sense of that sort of criticism right now when we're entering the sort of crypto winter?
Yeah, I think people are, they get angry, and a lot of people bought at really high prices. So it's really hard on a lot of people to watch them kind of collapse like this in price. But for me, it's my third bear market. I've been around for a long time, and so I understand how things correct exponentially in this market, and the ones that are going to survive are the ones that actually provide real value, real utility, and they're evolving with time. So many of these projects won't survive, and that's kind of what we're witnessing right now, the shakeout of projects that were just in it for maybe a quick buck, or that didn't really think things through and are not going to be around long term. So right now I'm focused on the collections that are doing innovative things and will be around long term, like Bored Ape Yacht Club.
What makes you say that the Bored Ape Yacht Club is a sort of innovative project and not like the others?
Yeah, I hear a lot of people saying, those monkey pictures, I'm so sick of those monkeys. They're everywhere. And Bill Gates came on and talked about the greater fool theory, and they kind of use the monkey pictures as why, But I think it's hard to understand until you really see the depths and the insides of what's going on in the movement. I witnessed Bored Ape Yacht Club from the beginning. Grow. And I remember the first time I realized there was something here when I went into the Discord and I heard these grown men making ape sounds in the chat. And this was when they were worth, virtually nothing. I mean, it was before they took off. And I thought, wow, people are really rallying around this brand, and it's giving them a sense of community and something bigger than them. And this is interesting. And so I followed that movement. I recognized that it was going to be powerful. It's they're part of something bigger than themselves. And this is an example of a membership kind of utility for NFTs.
Right. But I assume that has been sort of terrific investments for your clients. But still, like looking at that specific project, like, do you actually think that they have something that is impossible to replicate or steal, or like... people making ape sounds in Discord isn't like necessarily a positive, right?
Well, the reason why I say that is because I saw that people were excited about this before it took off. I saw that people were starting to like build their brand around it before it took off. And so now I'm going to all these private events at NFT NYC with different groups that have come together on, Twitter and Instagram and private groups. I'm in a group chat called Bored Ape Ladies. I think there's only 70 of us, but it's like the 70 of us in the whole club. And it's just been incredible to see how they rally around that and how much they value that community. And it's not that it's impossible to replicate. It is a first mover. It was really paving the way for them to structure this particular kind of NFT set, to structure their the kind of value that they provide, because they've continually provided value as being a holder, and they're constantly innovating and doing incredible things. So the PFP model might die out. I will. I mean, we've had so many trends, and we'll see so many more different trends coming in the future. But this particular model by Bored Ape Yacht Club, it is paving the way, and others are trying to replicate, but the community is also what made this huge.
At the NFT NYC sort of conference, we're obviously in a bear market right now. What is the sort of general vibe at the conference?
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, the last NFT NYC also happened to be in a bear market for NFTs. And, you know, I really don't feel that sentiment here at all. I feel excitement. I feel community building and people just happy to be involved. So actually, you don't get a sense of that kind of cloud hanging over the party or raining on the parade. It's more people are excited to network, build. I mean, all of the internet's brightest minds are building now in Web3. And so people just continue to do that right now and hunker down and continue to be involved. So NFTs gives people a reason to stay engaged in bear markets, whereas crypto didn't previously.
But you said so even yourself that like a lot of these projects won't survive. Do you have a sense that this bear market has sort of made people reflect more on what values NFTs actually can provide and what kind of NFT projects that will actually survive and work?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's kind of, you know, a necessary, healthy shakeout because we got really oversaturated. I mean, so many projects just appearing out of nowhere, trying to make a quick buck because they saw that it was lucrative and there was a lot of money involved. So it kind of shakes people out and it only leaves the people who are interested and want to stay engaged. And I'm telling you now, the people that do stay engaged in this bear market, they continue to learn, they continue to pay attention, are going to be the people who are, this is the time to make the money. This is the time to build up your portfolio and to set yourself up for future success. And this is always when the work is to be done. I think we have to remember that this is a story that's much deeper than a $600,000 cat GIF or a $3 million tweet. You know, it's a technology that's shaping and shifting the way we value things over time.
Still, I like the focus has been, and I suppose in a way still is, quite a lot on these high figures and these high prices and how much these things will be worth or are worth or used to be worth. I have like a sense that like the obsession with the high prices sometimes gets away what we're actually going to use them for.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of price speculation and there is a lot of money to be made in NFTs if you get in the right collections and you stick with them through the cycles. That's definitely one of the narratives. But I think that the bigger narrative is the community that people get to be engaged with because of those collections. So for me, it's almost like the ape or the doodle or whatever the PFP is a representation of that membership code. It's like allowing you to become a member of a private club where people in there you network with, you do business with, they become almost your community. And I think that's really powerful for people and it gives them something to feel that they belong to.
I know that in our sort of listenership, like our listeners are sort of divided on whether NFTs will survive and whether they actually bring some value. I personally don't own any NFTs. My co-host Morten owns, I think, like 10 or 12 or something. But for those who are interested in investing in NFTs, like, what are you seeing? What are the trends that you think like could be huge?
Yeah, I mean, play to earn is going to be big. We're still in the beginning of that phase and things are breaking and they're broken and they're difficult at first. So it takes a while to build that up, but that is definitely going to be a big genre. Music, it's going to transform the music industry to give artists professional creative freedom, whereas they won't be bound to record labels. I mean, NFTs are going to govern and run our entire lives. They're going to open our car doors. They're going to open our house doors. They're going to be membership real life clubs. I mean, they really are going to be the future. And this is how new people are going to get onboarded into Web3, not through crypto. I believe really the NFTs is what's going to trigger that mass adoption when it happens.
Mm-hmm. have a question about the bear market as well, because a lot of people sort of frame this, and I have too, as a sort of moment of reflection, and this will be a way to sort of sort out who's actually serious and what products and projects are actually good. But I suppose, like, what sort of signifies a bear market is a lack of money, a lack of liquidity, and I assume that a bear market will also bring, like, projects that would have been funded a year ago can't be funded right now, and maybe even good projects.
Yeah, I mean, it is tough, but people are actually still raising money in this time right now. A lot of people, and it's when people actually start building in meaningful ways, because when the bull market is on and raging and people have this crazy mass euphoria, it's hard. And the people who aren't experienced, they blow through the money quickly, especially, you know, higher up corporations. As far as giving an overall sense of what's happening right now, that's one of the things that I look at on a daily basis for investment purposes. We invest on a long-term horizon. So this isn't today or tomorrow. This isn't a get-rich-quick scheme. This is, I'm going to see this through a full cycle. You know, nobody has ever lost money in Bitcoin within 4 years in the past. So this is a long game. And so what signifies a bear market, to answer your question, is on a technical scale, you know, where we are right now, we just plunged below the 200 weekly close. So we're, you know, on a technical scale, we're breaching limits that we haven't seen since the depths of the 2018 bear market. We're massively oversold on a weekly level, meaning the RSI, meaning there's not a lot of strength in the market at all. There's poor investor sentiment, you know, they're not confident in the market. And fear and greed index, for example, is something I look at that measures, you know, the fear or the greed in the moment. And we hit a level 6. We haven't seen that level since 2018 or since the COVID crash. We've seen 4 times in history of this indicator, which is from 2018, we've seen it go below 10. And 2 of those times it marked the bottom. 2 of those times it marked a temporary bottom before a rush up and then another mega crash. So on all the technical indicators, we're really oversold. We're really low. I mean, I'm talking 2018 low, bear market low. And also we just plunged below our last previous all-time high. So that's never happened in Bitcoin's history. There are a lot of things happening for the first time ever, and people are wondering why. And in the answer to that question, it's the first time we've had institutional liquidity in this market. So the problem is that people with high net worths and institutions are involved in risks maybe they don't understand as well. They're over-leveraged. I mean, the Celsius problem, 3 Arrows Capital, that these are companies that are could possibly go insolvent because maybe they got involved in risks they didn't understand. And so it's kind of like cascading effect. What happened with Terra Luna, they dumped 80,000 Bitcoin onto the market, physical Bitcoin. And of course, that's what triggered everything. Things are breaking in a bear market. So it's kind of shaking out and exposing all of the weak spots, I think you could say.
Yeah. But okay, so let's say, like, as you said in the beginning, you sort of advise people with a lot of money and celebrities and stuff like that. Let's say I'm a celebrity. I'm Justin Timberlake or something, which would be great for me. I come to you and I say, Megan, I'm panicked. The market's crashing. Get me out of here. What do you tell me?
Well, first of all, you wouldn't tell me that if you were my client, because the first thing we go over is mindset. So we definitely make sure that I make sure that everybody's on the same level. We definitely go over the mindset before we even get involved. And, you know, we buy low and we try to buy low and sell high. That's the idea. So, you know, when Bitcoin has been crashing, I've been averaging in throughout this whole crash. I still expect one more capitulation. So my clients are conscious of what's going on right now and conscious that this is a massive opportunity. And for me, it's asymmetric in the fact that the price isn't equivalent to the power of the technology.
So sorry, my English is failing me. What does that mean?
It means that all of the brain drain of the internet, the biggest brain drain of all time, I like to call it, is happening to where the internet's most brilliant minds are all pivoting from Web 2 to Web 3. They're all building Web 3. I mean, billions of dollars are being bet on Web 3. This isn't going to go away overnight. This is going to take time. It's going to go slow. It's going to be painful in the beginning, but this is a brand new movement and it's here to stay. I mean, the whole point about this NFT NYC is that these people are rallying around this in a bear market because everybody is who's pivoting over to this Web 3. It's not going to disappear in a movement like this overnight. This is just the beginning. So right now is a massive opportunity in that the price does not reflect the massive capabilities and potential of this technology. So for me, it's an asymmetrical bet.
So you've already made that clear to me / Justin Timberlake beforehand. So I wouldn't say, Megan, I'm panicked. Get me out of here. Is that
now is not the time to panic, and now is the time to look at the collections you valued at, you know, $50,000 above this price. I mean, if you valued them then, now is the time to pick them up. But it's so hard for human psychology and for people to, even my high end clients. I mean, you know, they have FOMO on the way up and they do have fear on the way down. It's so natural. This is just a reflection of human emotions, but this is just another bear cycle. I mean, I just did a panel with Helen Hai. She's a senior vice president of Binance, and their vision, actually, that I'm getting to know Binance more, is incredible. I mean, she was talking about blockchain as having the purpose of the free transfer of value. And CZ, who is the founder of Binance and the CEO, it's funny, he just put out a tweet the other day, like, you know, this isn't my first rodeo. I've been in bear cycles. This is completely normal for crypto and NFTs as well. And so while other exchanges had extravagant budgets for, you know, buying stadiums and ads and publicity, he turned it all down. And now exchanges are laying people off. Binance is hiring 2,000 people. So I think it's a question of experience and kind of like knowing how to manage the risk during these times.
Right. So is the summary, a lot of people got a bit carried away during the bull market?
Yeah. A lot of people, and those people aren't just retail, you and me. Those people are institutional. And so that's why there's so much more money in the market. And when institutional leverage gets liquidated, and for people who don't understand what the liquidation means, it means when they get completely wrecked, so to speak, because they're using leverage on their trades, those cascades, they trigger massive dumps because there's so much liquidity.
Right. And just to fill our listeners in, leverage in Swedish is hävstång. So, so you got that. Don't do that if you're a private investor.
No.
All right. So
No need to do that.
But like looking at the market as a whole and these last 6 months and I mean, June in particular, like it has been so rough for a lot of people. When you look at the market as a whole, And what happened to Luna and what's happened to Celsius and 3AC. And it seems like every other day there's like a platform I haven't heard of that has crashed. Do you look at these things and think that something has actually fundamentally changed?
No, I mean, fundamentally, that's a funny thing. The crash doesn't have to do with crypto on a fundamental level. Nothing has changed. And that's why I say, if you like Bitcoin at 60,000, then you damn well better like it at 19,000 and below. I mean, this is the golden zone of opportunity. I mean, people that are buying, right now we're below an indicator that called the Gaussian channel, and we're in the golden pocket. I mean, anywhere in this, you buy anywhere at these levels in 3-4 years, you're going to look like a superstar. Because that's just how these cycles work. And actually, a lot of people say that the cycle top was November 2021. But from an on-chain perspective, meaning on-chain analysis on the blockchain, the actual bear market started in April 2021 when new capital stopped flowing in. And then we just recycled capital within our community. And then we had our second top in November. But it's not like any cycle we've ever seen previously. We never got our extravagant blow-off top, meaning our euphoric, huge, massive wick to the upside. We never got that. And if we're looking at four-year cycles, that would put us, the end of this four-year cycle would put us at the end of the year. So there's a lot of indicators. One other indicator I'm looking at is called the hash ribbons. It's when miners start to capitulate because they're no longer profitable. So capitulate meaning selling at a loss. They dump their Bitcoin onto the market. That signal flashed about a week ago. And on average, it lasts between 1 to 2 months before we get a buy signal, meaning capitulation is over. So that's just to give you a time frame of, you know, how long we could be going sideways and trading at these levels. One more thing I wanted to mention is, like, a lot of people are like, when will there be a change in dynamic? And obviously, since we just discussed that this doesn't have to do with Bitcoin or crypto on a fundamental level, it's largely tied to macroeconomics and the stock market and the Fed. And the only way that this changes and the stock market and everything is relieved is when the Fed stops, quantitative tightening, and when it stops raising rates. So
when's that? Nobody knows, right? Yeah.
Well, actually, we can kind of guess based on, you know, previous what's happened in history. The midterm elections are in November. So technically, usually the Fed likes to gain the popularity of the people before the election. And so I'm thinking that one of my hypotheses is because you have to have an investment thesis, you know, and they're going to pivot maybe end of Q3, beginning of Q4 before the elections. And maybe it shows after these couple months in summer that the inflation has tapered off a little bit and that we're not so high. And then they start to pivot, change their tune, get people's confidence up again, change popularity so they get elected.
I spoke with my co-host like earlier today, and he said he saw a couple of videos with you, and you said, well, pretty much this, like this is just a blip, and we're gonna get through this, and the question he had, which I suppose I also have, is how can you be so sure? Like how, like at this moment, can you be so sure?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. And I did get a lot of angry people. Sometimes it happens in a bear market that people who have lost a lot of money and have sort of let their emotions take over and felt that fear. And I understand, you know, it's a scary thing to see Bitcoin piercing these levels, especially if it's your first time. But I've been around for a long time. It's not my first bear market. And if you want to get those exponential gains, you have to be able to stomach these pullbacks and be prepared for them. So how can I be so sure is that this technology is the future. That's why I'm on the road in the traveling around the world to give these talks and to, you know, connect with this community, because we're inevitably headed to a crypto-centric future powered by the blockchain. So if that's my thesis and that's my conviction, then these bear markets are just, if you look at Amazon, for example, after the dot-com bust, everybody said Amazon was going to zero. And it looks actually eerily similar to the chart, to Bitcoin's chart right now. And it did have its massive crash. And then it went on to have the most insane rally we've ever seen. So, and if you go back and look at the chart, it actually looks like a blip on the radar. And I'm not joking when I say that, you know, yeah, it's a massive crash, but this is crypto. And people who are getting involved in this, and it's important to educate yourself before jumping in, head first and not understanding how these cycles work. This is a normal cycle. CZ said it himself. This is normal bear cycle within the industry. So we shouldn't get shaken out.
Right. And just to clarify, CZ is the CEO of Binance, right?
Yes.
This, the thing, like, how can you be so sure? Like, are there any other things that, like, make you, like, you see a crypto-centric future, and I suppose, like, that's hard to explain, like, why you see that, I suppose, or can you explain that?
Yeah, all of the internet's most brilliant minds. Take a look at Jack Dorsey, who's the founder of Twitter, who left Twitter to work on Block, a Web3 company. I mean, all of the most brilliant minds are pivoting to this movement. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg, he's calling Facebook Meta, investing billions of dollars into this. I mean, the people, the most brilliant minds are getting involved in this movement, first of all. So that should tell you something. Institutions just got involved for the first time. And this is how adoption starts. You know, on the technology adoption curve, for example, when we look at it, we're 300 million users. In the next 9 years, we're expected to onboard 3.4 billion more users. And, you know, you take a look at the leading people in the industry, Michael Saylor, for example, from MicroStrategy, he's like heavily underwater right now, and they just keep buying. He has a long-term 100-year time frame for Bitcoin, and I invest on the conviction that Bitcoin is going to be around for the future, and I do believe it will hit $1 million eventually, like Kathy Wood says, and other professionals, and you know, maybe sooner than people think, and that's not what it's about. But when you invest on this with this long-term kind of horizon and time frame, then, you know, these kind of fluctuations shouldn't matter so much, and you should just stick to your strategy and your plan and dollar cost average if that's what is working for you when these markets come to lows, and, you know, not kind of stress about the daily movements. And as another closing thought, I mean, this is cyclical and this is how it works. So we should just be laser focused on sticking to our strategy. And it's another opportunity for people to do the same, because people are always like, oh, no, I missed the boat. I already missed these good opportunities. I'm too late now. And now we've been given a second chance. This market is really forgiving in that way, actually, that now we've been given a second chance. The problem is people aren't interested when it goes down. Then they suddenly are afraid. And then when it goes up, they're interested again. So we need to change the way we think about this, you know?
Are there any sort of signs that you are looking out for as to whether, like, when, or like, what are the signs you're looking for towards, like, when the market might turn?
Yeah, so we're oversold right now on a monthly level, the RSI. The RSI is a relative strength index, so it measures how strong or how much momentum we have in the market. When that monthly level gets above a 20 read and we're above $40,000, is most likely when we'll be back in a bull market and things will start to flip around. There's a lot of other indicators, but those are two of the main indicators. When we get that buy signal on the hash ribbons, when things start to look on the up and up is probably when we may see the uptrend resume. And especially, right. I mean, all hinging, of course, on the Fed and their pivot and, you know, kind of tapering a little bit, not hiking the rate so much. I mean, I think they did, the last rate hike was the highest one in 40 years. Not great for investor confidence. And I think they're going to want to change that narrative if we receive some data by the end of Q3 that, you know, inflation has gone down a bit and we're on track to kind of control it somewhat. Mm.
Megan, I've held you for far too long. Thank you so much for doing this. We said at the, me and Morten spoke about, we wanted to go into the summer with some optimism. You certainly have given us that. So thank you so much for doing this. And is there anything you'd like to add or plug or anything like that?
No, I mean, I like what you said about optimism. I know a lot of people are having a really tough time now, especially people who invested in Terra or Celsius, and, you know, they're feeling pretty down. And all I can say is just, stick around, engage. If you're engaged now in crypto and you're learning now, you're setting yourself up for greatness. And long term, this is not going to matter. And I still stand by the fact that it will be a blip on the radar. So, it's not a question of if, it's just when, and we can't have a time frame, but this is here to stay.
So if people want to check you out, where can they find you on sort of social media and stuff like that?
Yeah, so I'm Crypto Megan on Instagram. I do have a YouTube channel, which I plan on revamping. I just really want to focus on education now, security, also on Twitter, Crypto Megan as well. I'd love for you to follow me there. I give, daily updates on the market and NFTs I'm looking at, and also just investing mentality.
Thank you so much for doing this. Happy Midsommar if you're celebrating that.
Yes, all right. Thank you for having me.
All right, Morten, vad ska du sommar?
Du, jag ska åka till Kroatien. Jag ska åka till Serbien och Mykonos på Grekland, och sen ska vi upp i Hälsingland hos mamma och pappa.
Ja, oh, trevligt.
De har landställe där. Mm. Så det blir mysigt. Fiska lite fisk och äta god mat, gå ner i tempo och läsa lite böcker. Shaggy Baines ska jag läsa. Har du läst den?
Nej, vad är det?
Den har fått väldigt bra recensioner. Och en debutroman som redan omnämns som en klassiker.
Mm, vad kul, spännande.
Så det ska jag göra. Ja. Vad ska du själv göra?
Jag och min tjej är väldigt sägen på, vi håller på att försöka liksom planera någon slags tågluff söderut. Mm. Vi är så jävla otaggade nu när det är liksom 50 grader överallt. Men vi kanske kommer iväg ändå, så blir väl Frankrike / norra Italien.
Nice. Mm. Vad ska jag göra? Jag ska åka direkt från studion och köpa ett rep och en takbjälke, tänkte jag.
Nej.
Men så kollade jag på min Avanza och min Binance-konto. Jag har inte råd. Så var det med det.
Snyggt.
Du, vad kul det har varit, Gunnar. Mm. Och jag tycker att vi har hållit huvudet högt och försökt fortsatt göra liksom intressant content i den här podden, trots att det har varit lite deppigt de senaste månaderna.
Ja, precis.
Hoppas ni håller med, ni som lyssnar på det här och så.
Ja, nej, men jag håller med. Det har varit jätteroligt att göra med dig. Vi får se lite när vi kommer tillbaka i höst och sådär. Men om inte annat så får vi önska alla våra lyssnare en underbar sommar.
Ha en fin sommar, kära ni. Tack för att ni lyssnar och njut. Gå ner i tempo. Le mot varandra och var snälla. Send love. Hej då!
Hej då!